Everybody, welcome back to Medicare Agent IQ. I'm Raul Gonzalez.
And I'm Oscar Ibieta.
And just a reminder for everybody, the reason that we do this is we're trying to help agents to be more successful selling Medicare. You know, I know that there's a lot of agents out there that have probably struggled finding, hey, you know, I don't have an upline that gives me a whole lot of information. We get those calls from people all the time. So the hope here is that we could kind of fill in, just even be a mentor for agents, even for agents who've been doing this a long time. I think you could, anyone listening could learn a thing or two. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We want to be that resource, that tool for you.
Yeah. So today, what we wanted to talk a little bit about is kind of the differences and kind of, you know, breaking down some of the differences between a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage, and even maybe how to explain it, because I think that there's some confusion even for agents where it's kind of hard when you're sitting in an appointment and you're trying to make sure, okay, well, I want to explain what a Medicare supplement does. I want to explain what an Advantage does. And a lot of times people will end up referencing the Medicare supplement when they're talking about an Advantage. Well, this is what a supplement is. And so really we want to just kind of help agents to kind of have a better understanding of how to explain.
Yeah. Hey, quick question for you. Would you agree that Medicare supplements are easier to understand and explain than a Medicare Advantage? Or where do you stand when that question comes up?
You know, I think they're equally easy to explain if you understand them.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the hard. So which one's harder to understand? Probably, honestly, I think they're both. I think the hardest part, you know, because I think most agents understand Medicare supplements. Most agents understand Medicare Advantage. The hard part is sitting in front of someone and explaining the differences between both and trying to figure out what direction that they want to go in. There's some agents out there who just kind of lean one way or the other, right? Like, so we see this all the time where you've got agents. I saw a TikTok not too long ago, and the guy, he faces people who are on Medicare. That's the goal for them. And so I saw his TikTok. He goes, "Now listen, here's the rule. If you're broke, you go Advantage. If you're not broke, you go supplement." Clearly biased, clearly has his own kind of preconceived. So for agents who have those biases where they're, you know, that they're going to go one direction anyway. There's also agents that I talk to pretty regularly that are pretty set on Advantage, right? But I think that there's, you know, and that can be safe in some areas, but for someone like myself where I might run into, I recently was playing golf. We were playing golf, yeah. And we ran into a guy who was interested in a plan, and he could go either way. Like financially, he could afford a supplement but also an Advantage. I think that they're, you know, if your doctors work for Advantage, they both make sense. So the difficult part that we get to is when people, you've got to explain both, and you've got this short period of time, and you want to do it in a way that doesn't confuse people.
Yeah. And you know, when I look at med subs, I guess the reason that I ask that question is because you're not having to, I mean, they're pretty straightforward, right? It's a plan G is a plan G and a plan F is a plan F versus Medicare Advantage plans. You've got all these different carriers and you've got different types. You've got HMOs, you've got PPOs, you've got different networks that you've got to deal with versus with a Medicare supplement. It's pretty straightforward. So I think sometimes agents who sell more Advantage plans than supplements, they can be a little intimidated by Medicare supplements.
And I think what you're saying is you shouldn't be, because it's pretty easy to talk about. So let's do that real quick. So there is a chart. Now, if you go to the Medigap Buyer's Guide, which just a reminder for everybody, if you are an agent and you sell a Medicare supplement, you are required to give the Medicare or the Medigap Buyer's Guide. And so if you're watching on YouTube, I'm holding it up to the camera now. If you are listening to the podcast, you can just Google choosing a Medigap policy 2023 or 2024. I think it's 20.
The 24 one is out.
Is it out? Yeah. Okay. So the reason I did, you know, they do come out a little later. So you use the old one for a while. It is out, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you go in and you can just Google that and get it. And so there's a page in here though that I feel like is super important. And by the way, if you work in the Medicare, if you sell Medicare products, I really recommend familiarizing yourself with this book, kind of get to understand it. And then also like where to get the information. So if you're talking to someone and they're like trying to figure out, you know, if they have guaranteed issue into a Medicare supplement, you got to just know, hey, look, I can just go to the back of the book here and I could look up when people could have guaranteed issue, or just kind of, it answers a lot of the questions that agents really should be able to know. 22.
I think it's on 22.
Page number 22. So you go to the back, it says Medigap guaranteed issue rights. When I could enroll into a Medicare supplement, no questions asked. And I think that's the big part, is the no questions asked. You know, there's a lot of people who are dealing with health issues. But let's talk real quick about the chart. And so the cool thing, so I guess maybe you are right. Maybe Medicare supplement is easy if you know, but you know, the different types of plans. So there is some complication here, and I want to make sure that people understand that if someone had Medicare prior to January 1st of 2020, then they're still eligible to buy a Medicare supplement plan F.
Still eligible. That means, because there's confusion there with agents that are now coming into the business, they think that those plans can no longer be sold, and that's not correct. If somebody Medicare began prior to that date, they can still enroll into a plan F or a plan, what was it?
C.
Yeah. They're still able to enroll in those. A lot of times agents get confused and they think, well, I thought we can't sell those anymore.
Right.
You still can. It's just people whose Medicare began afterwards cannot enroll into those.
That's right. And that's an important distinction because of the fact that and gosh, like this is what always happens, and this is why people do, because it's going to start feeling complicated. So I'm gonna just explain. So if somebody had work insurance for the last, you know, 10 years, and they are now 75, they've had Medicare since they were 65, they automatically got Part A, and they've had Medicare, and now they're enrolling in a Medicare supplement, then when they leave, let's say they have guaranteed issue into that Medicare supplement, guaranteed issue, if you look over at what the rules are for guaranteed issue, it really, that situation is, if they had Medicare prior to January 1st of 2020, then their guaranteed issue is Plan F. Anyone who had Medicare after that, their guaranteed issue is Plan G. That's the one that they can't be turned down for. So I do want to let everybody know that, but let's go ahead and talk real quick. So if you look at the chart, Plan F says everything is covered at 100%. So you look over at the benefits, you've got blood, the first three pints covered at 100%. Part A hospice care covered at 100%. Part A deductible, what's the Part A deductible for 24?
$1,632.
Yep. Part B deductible is covered at 100% as well. What's that?
$240.
$240 for 2024. The Part B excess charges are covered at 100%. The only thing that's not on the list here is the foreign travel emergency, and that's up to 80%. And so that's just something that Medicare doesn't even cover. So that's why it's a little extra coverage that you get. So obviously, and so I'm like, well, why are you talking about this? You can't buy it anymore. Well, if you had Medicare prior to 2020, just one 2020, and you'll purchase. But for anyone that you, more and more often we're running into the people who are purchasing that are eligible for Plan G instead. And so if you look at it, shows here, the only difference is the Part B deductible is not covered by Plan G. Everything else is. So the first $240 that your client's responsible for, and then after that, you know, everything is good. So let's talk about the other ones real quick. And I'll say, you know, to be real honest, we don't sell a lot of B. We don't sell a lot of C. We don't sell a lot of D. There's not even, in most states, not even those options available anymore. Really the ones we talk about are G. And let's go over to probably the second most popular that we see, which is Plan N. What's the distinction here? I always reference people down to the three asterisks at the bottom.
Yeah, so usually with a Plan N, it works. It's very similar to a Plan G, but the difference between the two plans there is you're going to pay a $20 copay when you go and see any of your doctors. Right. You can pay up to, is the way that it's worded, I believe, up to a $20 copay, and it is a $50 copay if you have to go to the emergency room. And then the last piece is the excess charges are not covered by the plan N, and they are covered by the plan G. So that's kind of your next, in terms of coverage and how strong it is. You've got the plan F, but again, that can't be sold to anybody after 2020, whose Medicare began after 2020. And then you have the plan G, that's the second strongest option. And then the plan N, it would be the third strongest option.
Yeah. So I would say that N definitely makes a lot of sense for people, and it kind of took the place of plan G for, you know, if you've been doing this longer than 3 or 4 years, then you understood that plan F was usually the one that people would go with, but then plan G made sense for people turning 65, because what you were gonna see is the rate on the plan G increase slower.
Right.
The reason for that, and I guess, like, all this podcast is turning into like a med sup lesson, but the reason for that is because the F was the guaranteed issue option. So people who were turning 67 would get off and go on to plan F. So you would see, you know, they'd have to accept unhealthy people onto the plan. And so those rates would rise. Now the G and N are doing kind of that opposite, where we're seeing the guaranteed issue goes into G. And so N has become kind of the option that we know has more consistent rates.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that when I'm comparing Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement, and I'm talking to someone who, you know, could potentially go with both, is I start talking to them about, what I'll like reference to them is the client that I had. I enrolled her when she was first turning 65, and it was 2013 when I helped her with that enrollment. And I enrolled her into that plan, and I told her, we did it. So we've gone 8 years. She called me up and she says, "Hey, Raul, I can no longer afford these premiums." I'm like, "Well, why not?" Well, really what we found out is that it was up to $300 a month for that year. She's like, "I just can't do it anymore. I can't afford that anymore." And so I always bring that up when I'm talking to seniors, and I'm saying, like, look, one of the questions that I have for you is, if that situation were to happen to you, could you still afford the premium? How would you want to handle that? Some people that I talk to will say, "You know what, Raul, let me just go ahead and enroll an Advantage plan now instead. I'll go the other way and I'll just save the money I would have spent and use it toward those co-pays or to the maximum out of pocket, and I'll just save that monthly premium." Other people I talk to say, "You know what, let's cross that bridge when you come to it. I want that freedom and flexibility to go to whatever doctor that I want and no questions asked." And so I always like to bring that up though, because I feel like a lot of agents don't. And we run into a lot of seniors being surprised and running into that like that. Like, I felt bad for her because she ended up going on an HMO plan. So she went from a Medicare supplement
all the way
to an HMO. But the cool thing was is that she was in a I think it was Corpus Christi, something like that, where they had a $2,700 max out of pocket on that HMO. So for her, it actually, worst case scenario,
still saving money.
Her max out of pocket. If she hit her max out of pocket, she's still going to save a good amount of money, you know, when you add up the prescription drug coverage and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I would say that's the negative when we talk. Well, it mostly positive, right? This is a Cadillac plan. Why do they call it, or why do a lot of times people reference it as a Cadillac plan? And that's because it's a luxury, right? And luxuries cost more.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the big part for me is just making sure that seniors that you're dealing with are aware of that.
Yeah, and getting them the information. I think that was the point that you were trying to drive there, was make sure, because you're going to get a different response depending on the person that you're dealing with, that you're sitting in front of. So, again, going back to that TikTok, right, of that individual saying, if this is the way you should go in one direction or the other, if any of these apply to you or don't apply to you. But really, it just comes down to how that individual feels. If you're dealing with somebody who were both options or good options that are on the table for them, present that, you know, that scenario or that example, and then see what direction, how they feel about it, and then go from there.
And I feel like the important part here is don't let your biases determine how you talk to other people. And I've had this conversation with one of our agents who she used to work for a doctor's office. And so she was 100% against Medicare, Advantage, and in particular HMOs. And so she would sell Medicare supplements to anyone she could. She would, you know, paint this picture of an Advantage plan as a really negative option. And so again, same as that TikTok guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's like, you know, HMOs are, I mean, med subs are for people who can afford it, you know, like blah, blah. But she would do this. But I would have a conversation. I was like, you understand that an agent like myself who's been doing this for 17, 18 years, that I would easily talk to a lot of your clients that you've enrolled into a Medicare supplement and easily move them over to an Advantage plan. I would explain, you know, especially in a market like San Antonio. So I'll tell you, if you're an agent and you're stuck on Medicare supplements, they're not for everybody, especially today. I think over 50% of Medicare beneficiaries who are eligible for Medicare choose an Advantage plan. So you want to familiarize yourself with it, or you will run into agents who've been doing this a long time and would probably take that business from you. So that's an important thing to know. Don't let your biases get in the way of your recommendation. So, or how you guide people, because you know your recommendation should be less important than how you guide people to help them understand things in a way that would help them to better make a decision on their own.
Yeah, and I think another important piece to that is if you're trying to grow a book of business and you have a biased opinion, that's, you know, when they go and share, you know, when you're trying to get those referrals or it's going to lead to a referral, they may, you know, if your emphasis is on Medicare Advantage plans or Med Supps, whenever they go and refer somebody, they're going to say, oh, well, he spent a lot of his time talking about Med Supps or a lot of times talking about Medicare Advantage plans. The way that I look at things is I want to educate people on all the options that they have and help them make a decision. I say, let's make a decision together. But by doing that, it's going to lead to referrals, because if you're able to say and put all the options on the table and say, look, let's decide on this together. Really, that makes you so much more valuable, because when they go and refer somebody to you, they know and they're comfortable. They know that that you're going to take the time to talk about both options, because they might be referring somebody to you who prefers a Medicare supplement and can afford a Medicare supplement. But if you spent your whole time trying to you know, putting an emphasis on Medicare Advantage plans, they may not refer them over to you. So, again, make sure you talk about all the options with them.
Yeah. Can you think of any other negatives of a Medicare supplement? I'm trying to think other than costs. Everything to me makes a lot of sense. If you're going to be on a Medicare supplement, the cost is the only thing that would hold me back.
I'll tell you one thing that agents run into in the field, because there's so much, not as much anymore, but there's a lot of advertising and marketing on getting all those extra benefits, those dental benefits and the vision benefits and the gym memberships and the grocery cards and the over-the-counter benefits. Medicare supplements don't offer that. So I don't know if we want to use the word like a negative to a Medicare supplement, because you got to remember these are health plans first, right? They're health plans before, and you take those extras just for what they are. They're extras. But if there is a quote unquote negative side to the med subs, I'd say that they're not packaged, built with all those extra benefits.
Yeah, actually, I feel like that's a good take right there. I would say that that those are the basic negatives of it. I want to mention K&L real quick, and I would tell you that as an agent, I would always just bring it up to your clients. And the reason that it's important is not because most people won't choose it, but they will, you know, or could run into an agent that comes in just selling K&L, and they're like, I don't know why your agent didn't tell you about this. Yeah. You know, like if they want to go the med sup option, a good agent would tell you they're probably just worried about their commission or talking about the high deductible plan. So I always bring it up, just be like, look, you know, I want you to know that there's these options available. And a lot of times people are like, no, I'm not interested. I don't want a $3,000 deductible. I've already had that. So I would say, you know, just want to make sure that you bring those up if you run into a client that's interested in a Medicare supplement. People are very open to change during their Medicare open enrollment, and so they're going to listen to everyone who will talk to them. Like I was talking to a client yesterday, and he's like, no, I talked to my friend from work, and I'm like, well, he's probably not the expert. He's only done this once, right? But everyone wants to, they're talking to everybody and they're trying to help people to. So you will hear people, maybe agents who bring up K&L a lot. Yeah. So let's talk real quick about Advantage and almost like the negatives of Advantage plans. So in particular, you know, they're different, right? And so the HMOs are different than PPOs and the, you know, they're very different. So I would say that just kind of the blanketed, what's the negative of Medicare Advantage program? I think that some of the change it can be difficult for people. Like, you know, these benefits are set for 1 year. So at any year you could see the benefits complete, you know, all those extras you were talking about. And it wouldn't surprise me if this year with the final rule that was released, that carriers reimbursements going down next year quite a bit, more than we even thought. And so it wouldn't surprise me if we're going to see some of those extra benefits that people got used to kind of going away, or at least being, you know, significantly reduced. So but I would say that's kind of the negative of it, is that, you know, the plan that you had this year could look very different next year.
Yeah. And people, with what you just said, people are going to be more open to shopping. You know, when they get their ANOCs and they're seeing that a lot of these benefits are going away, they're going to be thinking, well, what other options do I have? So be prepared as an agent. Make sure you prepare for that, because there's going to be a lot of opportunity this coming AEP. But another piece I'd say is networks, right? Medicare Advantage plans come with networks. Generally, usually a PPO network is going to have a larger network than an HMO plan would. When we're comparing it to a Medicare supplement with MedSups, there's essentially no network. It's just, as long as the doctors or wherever it is that you're going, as long as they accept Medicare, you can go right in there with your MedSup versus Advantage plans. You've got to make sure that they're in the network, or if you're on a PPO, if you got to make sure that they'll accept you out of the network. But of course, that comes with a higher cost.
One thing as an agent that's important for me is I always like to tell people, look, if I'm in your shoes, I am not enrolling in a PPO plan if I think I might go outside the network. And why is that important? Well, the cost, if you look at, you know, just our local plans here in the San Antonio area, if you go outside the network on a PPO, is it 40%?
Yeah, 40.
To me, I would say, you know what, if you think you would do that, just stay on original Medicare. Don't put yourself in a position where you're going to pay 40% of the cost. You're paying more than on original Medicare. Now, of course, the benefit is, of course, you still have the max out of pocket, which you don't have on original Medicare. But the heart of it, or the point of it, is like, don't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah, there's another way to look at it too, right? Especially when you're dealing with people who are going through that change where they're retiring or they're coming off of a group plan. Think about it. I mean, all the plans that we've ever been used to, the insurance I have now, it's a PPO. So we know that my wife and I, we make sure that we stay in the network, even though we know we have the ability to go out of the network. Right. We don't want to, because we know that it's going to cost a lot more money. So it all just depends on how you're looking at these things, right? There's, you know, some may call it network restrictions, but at the same time, these are, you know, many times this is just what we're used to dealing with. If you're transitioning from a group plan, you're used to having to deal with networks. And now you're getting with an agent, you, the agent, are going to find out, you know, get their list of doctors and see if they're in the network or not, so that you can present the options to them. But again, that's the, you know, when we're looking at some of the, you know, disadvantages of an Advantage plan would be a network, right? That's one.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say another, or go back, and if you look at an HMO plan, it's even more, it's even more difficult than an HMO plan. So you look at, If you look at the network restrictions, you have to get a referral. You have to do a lot of those things. And so that is a negative. I always tell people about this when we're comparing Advantage and we're comparing supplements. I always say this. The hard part is that in my own home, my wife would choose a Medicare supplement without a doubt. Like that's the direction she would go. And I'm an HMO guy. And that's what I would do. I do the best I can when I'm explaining all these things to never let that bias come out. But man, I'm an HMO guy. Like the very first thing I ever sold was an HMO when I worked at Humana. It's like, that's the direction I would go. But I also understand why people go with the Medicare supplement. But HMO plans are the benefits to me kind of outweigh, you know, any other option when you look at the cost savings, when you look at those things, if you're willing to stay inside of a truncated network. Like that's the big part. Am I willing to stay in this little tiny network and maybe not have some of the freedoms and flexibilities that I would have? And I think, you know, especially if you're in a large area like a San Antonio or, you know, a Dallas, Texas, Houston, something like that. There's so many doctors, there's gonna be good doctors in your network.
And the networks are larger than you might think. And I think, and that's
for the major carriers.
For the major carriers, yeah. So, and that's evolved because I remember when I first got into the business 11 years ago, HMO networks were much, much smaller, and we've seen that they've grown, at least in the bigger markets, right? They have the list of doctors that are now accepting HMOs is much, much bigger. So don't be afraid to have the discussion about an HMO plan, even if the prospect that you're meeting with is really interested in a Medicare supplement. Again, I always take the time to just educate them and say, look, I want to talk about all the options first, and then we'll make a decision. And they may likely still decide on a med sup, but at least you took the time to educate them, because you don't want to run into that situation where you say, well, that agent didn't talk to you about that. Well, let me tell you why, or they were probably worried about this or that. So just take the time to educate them on all those options.
Yeah. What are some other, like, would you say, like, negatives? I think that, like, there's one thing that always pops up on an Advantage plan on the summary of benefits when you're going through it, like right under everyone, authorization required, or they pretty much there, or on the explanation of coverage, authorization required almost at every benefit.
Right.
And the reason that, you know, your seniors, they'll see some of that. And so what does that mean exactly? It means that they don't always follow the same rules as original Medicare now with access to getting that care. And so sometimes they'll and things have changed, you know, there's some rule changes that have in the beneficiary's favor that says they can't do this. But back there was a time where, you know, you would enroll and say an HMO and you'd say, I need to get an MRI. Your doctor tells you to get an MRI. And they say, well, why does he need an MRI? You don't necessarily need that just yet. Let's first try this, or first do kind of an evaluation, right? Those types of things.
Or so maybe another example, like a therapy, like physical therapy, an Advantage plan might set a limit to how many PT visits, physical therapy visits you can have, versus if they just had original Medicare with a supplement, they'd have more visits.
Yeah, and there's still those limitations, and it sometimes can be harder to get to, and they're cost-saving measures, but often they're fully thought out by a group of doctors that are kind of helping the plans to make these decisions. But as a senior, if you can afford to avoid that kind of frustration, you know, it's just, those are things that you want people to be aware of when you're making recommendations. And it can be difficult. Like, I feel like we're already almost 30 minutes in right now. We're just kind of scratching the surface of like, you know, the Medicare Advantage versus Medicare supplement debate. And just out of curiosity, because I've said what I would do, and I've never heard from you, what would be the option that you do?
Me, like, personally, I like the idea of a PPO plan,
right?
So that way I feel like that's kind of a perfect blend, in my opinion, of a Medicare supplement and an HMO plan. I still get the freedom.
Which I would never say to a
right,
senior.
Right, yeah, this is agent table talk, right? This is agent table talk, which I feel is the perfect blend between the two, because I don't need to get the referrals like that I would with an HMO. So I get that kind of freedom and choice. Also, but I want to try and make sure that I stay in the network. Most PPO plans are offered at a zero premium. Then I might bundle that with a hospital indemnity plan and like a cancer policy or something. That would probably be the route that I would go.
A PPO.
PPO.
With those options.
Yep.
So you have that freedom and flexibility still without the without the referrals and all those types of things.
Right. And then, of course, versus a sup, where here in Texas, we're going to see the rate go up year over year. So that way I can stay away from that higher monthly premium and just go with a zero premium PPO and then just pay that low premium for a hospital plan and cancer plan.
Yeah, I would say that when you're talking with people, and just kind of like one last takeaway as we wrap up today, I see this happen a lot, and I always go back to that TikTok that I saw where he's like, look, if you're broke, blah, blah. I feel like in ways, as a senior, they're living on a fixed income. So understand that you're in a completely different situation. That gentleman on that TikTok is in a different financial situation than those seniors. People, the last thing they need to do is feel judged in that, mm-hmm. which honestly, that's a judgment. Like if you're broke, you're going to be on an advantage plan. Like, and that's just not the truth. And we don't want to make people feel smaller than they are, because realistically, you look at the cost of even milk and you look at all these things are raising and costs are going up, and people are on fixed incomes. They're on Social Security. That Social Security check maybe goes up 3% when inflation was like 8%. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to, like, it's important to, one, realize that these seniors are in a different financial situation than you. Never make them feel judged. Never make them feel dumb for choosing an option, or less for choosing an option that they can afford. And so I think that's one last important takeaway that I would give when we're kind of comparing options. Anything for you?
No, I love that. That's a good way to wrap up the episode.
All right. Well, we continue to do this. We actually are getting emails and messages regularly on TikTok, on the different platforms that we're on. Don't forget to engage with us on YouTube. And we are creating a Medicare Agent IQ website right now, which would have a little bit more information and hopefully just more options for people. So don't hesitate to reach out and get added on our mail list as well. So until next time, we'll be back and help you to make good decisions for your clients.